Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose there probably should be a disclaimer at the bottom of this message today. This may make some of you upset. And I've been planning this message for a couple of weeks, and to be quite honest with you, I kept thinking I don't want to preach this message, and God kept saying, this is what you're going to preach. Let me start by saying this. This isn't a political message. My job as a pastor is not to be involved in politics. In fact, it's illegal for me to make political statements, and I really am saddened when I see pastors do that. Because of the separation of church and state, I highly believe it's not my place to do that. Number one, that's number one. Number two, if I don't make you upset sometimes, then I guess I'm not really doing my job, because God's word is offensive. It is an offense to us. The scripture says it's an offense to us because it causes us to live differently and think differently, and it calls us to a higher calling than what the world does. And last, let me say this. I really don't care much anymore about politics. I don't care much about patriotism. Yeah, I love the United States and I pray for it, but this really isn't my home either. And really what happens will happen whether I want it to or not. What I care about is far much more important, far much more important, the most important thing in the world. For we are not of this world, even though we live in it. We are of the kingdom of heaven. And that's where I try to live. It's hard, but that's where I try to live. Because what matters to most to me is that the kingdom of God grows. What matters most to me is that people come to know Jesus and can go to heaven with us. What matters most to me is what God's words calls us to do, the freedom that God gives us, and the standards that God sets for us, not anything the United States or any other government says. For in fact, if tomorrow it was illegal to worship Jesus, I would worship him all the more. Because I know that I have heaven as my kingdom, and so do you. So that's the disclaimer. I pray that some of you might get a little upset. God loves the foreigner. He does. He loves the foreigner. It's very evident in our lessons for today what God thinks about the foreigner. Both in the Old Testament lesson and in the gospel, it is very clear what God says. The Jewish people are my people, but there will be foreigners outside of those chosen people whom I'm going to bring into my kingdom. I don't care what they look like. I don't care how they speak. I don't care what they smell like. I don't care how they sin differently than you sin. They will come into my kingdom and be saved. So much so that he calls us to take care of the foreigner and to love them just the way they are. That is very evident with the Canaanite woman in our gospel lesson for today. The Canaanite people were outcasts. They were not to be in, the Jewish people were not to be in touch with the Canaanite people. They were outcasts. There were downgrades. There were racism going on. There was hatred going on. They were beneath them. They would mock them. They would spit at them. They wouldn't talk to them. And yet, a Canaanite woman comes to Jesus today, and at first he kind of goes back and forth, and he says, no, this isn't right. You're not my people. But in her persistence, she believes in Jesus. She has faith in what he could do. She knows and has seen what he could do. In her persistence, she challenges him back, and Jesus answers her prayer and says, you have great faith. In our epistle lesson for last week and for today, we hear Paul talking about the fact that, yes, God's Jewish people are God's chosen people, and yes, the kingdom is for them, but now anyone who believes in Jesus Christ are the chosen people. All people had to be in a place of rejection, both the Jews and the Gentiles. Both you and me at one point were in a place of rejection. Why? Because it's from that place that God can work and mold us. He doesn't want the haughty. He doesn't want the upright. He doesn't want the righteous. He doesn't want the Pharisee. He wants the people who are broken, who are in desperate need of salvation to rescue. So all people had to be brought low into a pit of despair in this world to recognize and see and taste of the salvation of Jesus, the Jew and the Gentile. For all of God's people, we are now chosen. Many people, many pastors, many evangelicals teach today that we are not of the chosen people. That is reserved for the Jewish people. This is wrong. For all who are baptized in
in Christ are now God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. St. Paul says it in our epistle lesson for today, because God loves the foreigner. And just as he does with his delightful children of Israel, the Jewish people whom he loves, whom he sent Jesus through, he also does for the foreigner and the Gentile, adopting them through baptism to become his natural children, his chosen ones, you and me. So that all people might come to know Jesus, so that we might know of the salvation which Jesus won for us on his cross, in his death and resurrection, freeing us all from sin, death, and the devil to live with him forever. This is the beauty of God. After all, you and I are foreigners. Yes, we are. No, we may not be foreigners in our own country, but we are foreigners in God's kingdom. We are, and we were. We were foreigners. We were not chosen at that time to be God's people. And before we came to faith, we weren't God's people either. Even though we were chosen because of Jesus, predestination, God wants all people to be saved, we didn't have the benefits of salvation before we came to know Jesus. This is true. You and I were foreigners. Mocked by Satan, tormented by Satan, mocked by the world, tormented by the world, tormented by sin and death, on and on and on and on. We were foreigners. But oh, how precious it was the day that Jesus Christ chose you. The day that Jesus Christ gave you faith through the power of word and baptism. The day that he made you an heir to heaven. The day that he made you a child of God, so that no longer would you be an outcast and foreigner, but you would now be as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Holy and dearly loved. So that you now experience the kingdom of God forever and ever. God loves the foreigner. I guess that really hits a lot of us in the chest and the heart, right? There's so much stuff today with racism. There's so much stuff today with, immigration. And there's so much stuff today, even amongst churches. Churches fight. You know, one church says this, the other has this. Well, you know, you hear it all the time. Let me give you an example. One of the biggest things I see today are evangelicals saying that Catholics aren't Christian and they're not going to heaven because they don't do it the way they do it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. All that's needed for salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, none of us have it right. No Lutheran has it right. No Catholic has it right. No Pentecostal has it right. No Baptist has it right. No evangelical has it all right. We are all sinners. We all fall short of God's glory. We all make mistakes. What we have right is the only thing that's needed for salvation, and that is Jesus Christ dying for us and rising for us. That is what we have right. So we have no reason to make fun of one another or even cause each other to be outcasts. But yet it happens. It happens in various ways in our world. No matter where you stand politically, I need you to hear this. As a Christian, as a child of God, holy and dearly loved, baptized into the kingdom, our task, our complete and utter task, is to go to everyone and to share the love of Jesus. That means we are called to go into the world and love people where they are. We're called to go to the homeless and take care of them. We're called to go to the immigrants who are in this country and take care of them, providing for their needs and sharing Jesus. We are called to go to people we don't like and our enemies to share the love of Jesus with them and to pray for them. We're called to do things with other denominations to share love with them and to praise God with them. We are called to be above this world and not to see people differently as we are, but to see that everyone is battered and bruised by Satan and in need of the salvation of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a true story. In Germany, and I think it was in Berlin, I may be wrong about that, but it was in Berlin a couple years ago. If you remember, there were a lot of Islamic people fleeing for refuge around the world, and Germany opened up to them and said, you can come here. And people were mad about that. People were like, we don't want them here. We don't want them here. And so there was a Lutheran church, a sister church of ours, in the heart of Berlin, who opened up their church to these foreigners, opened them up. So you can come stay here, you can come sleep here, we're going to give you fresh clothes and you can bathe here and we'll feed you. You're welcomed in this place. People were mad. There were people who would throw rocks and break the windows of the church because how could this church be doing this? They're welcoming these foreigners. We don't want them here. Nevertheless, the church said, this is our task. We will provide refuge for them. They need a place to stay. Now, what was amazing is this church didn't do that with the intent purpose of proselytizing them and bombarding these people with Jesus. No. They didn't use words, but they showed love in action. And something amazing happened. Something amazing. Almost 20% of the Islamic people who came to take refuge in that faith in that church came to faith in Jesus. Almost 20%. Almost 20% of those people, of those Muslims, those Islamic people who came to find refuge in that church, who were loved by those members despite everything else that was going on, who set aside their political differences to take care of a fellow human being, 20% of them came to faith in Jesus and are going to heaven. It makes me sad when I look at the state of our world today. For some odd reason, we don't see each other as all being created by God, but we are. Created in His image, each and every one of us, no matter if you're from Italy or Germany or somewhere in Africa or the Middle East or Mexico or Canada. I guess Canadians will let them in. I say that for my Canadian friends. I have lots of them. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It even doesn't really matter what religion you are, because we're all in the same boat. We're all in desperate need of salvation from Jesus. And without Him, we will die eternally and experience hell. We're all in the same boat. But thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, who came into this world for foreigners like you and me to save us. To save us. And then He sends us out to the foreigners who don't know Him, across every boundary and barrier you can think of, to save them with the message of Jesus. Did you hear that? He calls us into the world across every boundary you can think of, including those that politics puts in place, because God is higher than politics, to share the love of Jesus with His creation. That's what it means to be Christian. And if we don't have that, then we aren't Christian. Because in Christianity, you can't hate anybody. St. John says, if you hate your brother, you can't live in the light. You can't live in the light. That's a tough message for today for all of us, isn't it? Because that can also apply to our enemies and people we don't like, or people we don't think who deserve to be in heaven. But if they don't deserve to be there, neither do I. Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, who saw us poor, miserable sinners, these foreigners who were lost and wandering, in need of a God to save them. And at just the right time, immediately, He sent Jesus for us. In His name, amen.